I declare,
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation
in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
The word of God is healing you in every area in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's healing every part of your body in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He sent His word and healed them. That word delivered them from all their destructions. That is your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That word is delivering you from all your confusion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There are things that you are doing which you are convinced they are right, but actually they are wrong. That word will give you light in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That word will give you light in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Many of the problems we have in life, they arise because we are engaged in a wrong procedure. Remember the story of David when he went to get the ark. What happened to David? There was a problem on the way, even though he had a good intention. Good intentions don't guarantee success. You must understand that. Good intentions don't mean that you are doing what is right. Does not mean you will succeed. Good intentions don't cut it alone. You must, apart from your good intention, you must have the good procedure. You must have the right procedure. You must have the right method. So at the point in time, David said, let's go and bring the ark of God back to where it belongs. And then because of his zeal and his good intention, he decided to buy the latest model limousine and put the ark of God on it. Of course, they didn't have limos then, but he built a cart, beautiful one, and had two strong animals. He had two oxen, all right, drawing the cart. And then he had a very good ox driver of the cart, all right, or the carriage, whatever. And the man was driving very well. This man also had passion for the things of God. Along the way, God sent an angel, and an angel tripped one of the oxen, and the animal stumbled. And because the animal was going to fall, all right, it was now twisting the cart up and down. The man in his zeal reached out to steady the ark of God. And God was very angry. The Bible says that God was angry. The anger of God was provoked against Uzzah. And God struck Uzzah there and he died. Now, listen. Good intention? Yes. Zeal? Yes. Good offering for the Lord? Yes. But did it work? No. Why? The procedure was wrong. David himself said it later. He said, we did not seek him after the due order. What am I trying to say? Many of the things you are doing in life, the reason why you are having problems is because, not because you don't have a good heart. You have a good heart. You have a good heart. You are a nice person. Okay? You actually meant well. But God said, even though your heart is right and you mean well, your procedure is wrong. Now let me pray for you again today. The correction you need to set you on the path of success, receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word that is coming forth will give you that necessary correction in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's every man's way is right in his own eyes. Your way that you thought was right, but is actually wrong, God will point it out to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When Elihu prayed, he said, we should pray like this, that which I see not, teach thou me. This is my word for you today, the word of God. That which you do not know, the Lord will teach you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I have a word I just dropped in my mind also. When correction is coming, please do not lean on your own understanding. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
okay, how do I know the correction is right? It's two things that is going to happen to you. One, it will be shown to you from Scripture. It won't be popular. It will be shown to you from Scripture that is in line with Scripture. That is a correction. And then number two, people who are more experienced than you in life, they will tell you that this is not the way it works. Get ready, it's coming to you.
Amen.
You must not be stubborn.
Amen.
Those that God destroys are the people that are stubborn. It's not those who make mistakes. It's not those who did something wrong. No, 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 no. And I told you as a young boy, a friend of mine went for a Bible knowledge class and they compared the sins of David with that of Saul. And God did not forgive Saul, yet he forgave David. But by human calculation, what did Saul do really before God rejected him? Alright? That is before the rejection. After the rejection, he did a lot of terrible things. But before he was rejected, he didn't do many things that were so wrong. But David was never rejected. And he did all kinds of wrong things. And my friend said, look at it. Was that fair? Alright? But later on, I understood it. Just that we did not know. Of course, I realized what was happening. As young children, we didn't understand how God weighs iniquity. We didn't understand what God says is right and what God says is wrong and the gravity of which one that he says is wrong. All right? The Bible says, God said clearly, to disobey is like the sin of witchcraft. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
I mean, he said it's better to obey than to sacrifice. That for God, obedience is the strongest thing. You get my point?
Yes.
Now you see, so for Paul, and then like I said, if you go and read it very well, when God tried to correct Saul, all right, you will see that Samuel came and said, he didn't do what we told you to do, but he insisted. Now listen, and Samuel now said that because you have rejected the word of the Lord thy God, he has also rejected you from being king. I want to give you the explanation again. It was not the rejection of that word, go and kill the Amalekites. That was not the word. It was the word of correction. It was when he rejected the word of correction that God rejected him from being king. When people are destroyed is when they don't agree to be corrected. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
it is the mule, the stubborn fellow that will refuse to be corrected that is destroyed. It's not the one who made the mistake. No matter how terrible the mistake you make, all right, there is a way back to the center of the will of God.
Yes.
That's why Jesus died. That's why he died. Listen, if I hear people say that if you have sinned, the consequences will remain. I don't believe that gospel one bit. If it was like that, then it is Jesus died in vain. That, look, the blood of Jesus does not only cleanse the sin, it cleanses consequences also. The reason why he doesn't cleanse consequences a lot of times is that people are not repentant. They walk on stubbornly in their sins. Making excuses. My message today is going to deal with that. You don't make excuses for sins. You know, it's Nigeria. You know, as a man, what else can you do? When God wants to destroy people, it's because of stubbornness, refusal to be corrected. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, I'm convinced of better things concerning you. Concerning you, better things will happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not be stubborn.
Amen.
You will receive correction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you have been filled with that knowledge, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, congratulate somebody beside you. Say you are walking the manner worthy of the Lord. Tell the person it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody else on the other side. Tell the person, welcome to another feasting time. The word will enter your heart today. In the name of Jesus. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Well, I've been talking about dominion over sin. And I want to just maybe, let's round that off today. If not, we'll finish it next time. And let's just read two portions of the Bible which we have been reading again and again. 2 Peter chapter 1, that is the main one we have been reading. We will start from verse 1. Simon Peter, born servant apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, grace, verse 2, and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now notice verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. Everybody say all diligence.
All diligence.
He said applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And your moral excellence, knowledge. And your knowledge, self-control. And your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, what are those things? The increasing in moral excellence, the increasing in faith, knowledge, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. As long as you practice these things, the Bible says, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. The Lord is good. Now that's the scripture we have been using. And we're going to comment on it briefly again before we go into our prayer session this afternoon. This is our school of prayer. Let me just read you another one we read last time, because those are the two main things we are going to use today as a foundation for what we are discussing. Psalm 45. Now, I want to read from verse 6. It says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Or if you have a King James, it says iniquity. Therefore, somebody say therefore.
Therefore.
He said, therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. That's what the scripture says. Now, these are the two main scriptures I want to use today to, all right, as a foundation for what we are going to be expounding. We've read them severally again and again. Let's just get into them again. Now, what are we discussing? Dominion over sin. Why are we talking about it? It is simple, because we understand that sin is dangerous. Are you getting my point? Let me say something. No, I said something last time. Let me say it again. In the beginning, the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, all right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and light came to be. And then the Lord saw that the light was good. And the Bible says he now separated the light from the darkness. I want to go over that again. God separated light from darkness. When I read that, I realized that what he was saying is that it's possible for light to exist and darkness is still there. The way we used to think, at least the way I used to think about it, is that once you find light, darkness disappears. But I found out that it is not always true. It is possible for light to be present, all right, while darkness is still there. The introduction of light does not automatically drive away darkness. That was why God had to separate the light from the darkness. And we see many scriptures that prove that. He said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? That is, Paul was writing in that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that sometimes you find people behaving funny. Fellowship, you are seeing light having fellowship with darkness. So he said there's a commandment. You come out from amongst them and be separate. It was a commandment. The people had to deliberately do the separating of the fellowship, that is, discontinuing the fellowship of light with darkness. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. You know, sometimes we just think that the moment light comes, darkness goes away. No, but we have seen from the scriptures, it's not always like that. It's a deliberate separation that we must do. And that was why then I talked about the fight against unbelief. Because you can have faith in your heart, and unbelief tries to rise up to try and counteract the faith. You will see it also. The devil tries to do that. That's what people must understand. Eve had all the knowledge of the commandments of God. Yet what the devil did was to come and give her something that she did not have before, to pollute her light, to pollute her truth. So that you are getting what I'm going to say here. It's very important. You know what I'm saying, all of these things? It is possible. Listen, if you haven't read my book, I'm asking you again today, go and read it. Beyond Gifts and Talents. Please, if you have not read that book, go and read it. In Beyond Gifts and Talents, I explain the fact that you are anointed does not mean you will succeed. You know how is no guarantee of success. You are called does not mean you will not die. Many have been called before you, and they died quicker than you. Are you getting my point? you are called, God has a special unction upon your life, does not in any way guarantee that life will be long at all. Heavily anointed people have died. When we're young, those days, and in the face, I mean, we heard things like this, that a man was on the plane, and the pilot gave one negative announcement, and the man was not bothered. Why? He found that Billy Graham was sitting on the same plane as him. He said, God will not allow Billy Graham to die. You don't know that sometimes the reason why the plane will crash is because of the Billy Graham inside there. Because one of the greatest Billy Grahams of the Bible, his name was Jonah. May a Billy Graham going in the wrong direction not board your flight. I hope you are getting the truth there. Because sometimes you think that Billy Graham is on the flight, people look and say, God won't let the man die. God has, look, God, he has killed people more powerful than that. Go and read the story again, that Exodus chapter 4, which you've read before. God himself stopped on the way after he called his own Billy Graham of those days, Moses. He said, this man is disobeying my rules. So the Bible says God stops to kill him. It was when Zipporah suddenly realized what had gone happened that she quickly did what was right and Billy Graham's life was spared. Are you not running by Billy Graham here now? You are anointed does not mean you will succeed, does not mean you will go far. That was why I wrote the book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Why Gifted People May Fail. That is the subtitle of the book. All right? Gifted people may fail. And that's what we're discussing again in this series. Dominion over sin. Sin is the reason why gifted people may fail. It's one major reason. There's one lie that crippled the body of Christ. I've heard people tell me before that for the Christian, there is no sin. I say some rubbish things. Don't you read the Bible? Why did John say we should confess our sins? If Christians, there's no sin. As far as Christians, I've heard that nonsense before. And you're talking to Christians, you don't talk about sin. Listen, you will die in your sins if you don't recognize that it's there. That's what I'm talking about, light and darkness. Sometimes people have light, but they hold on to darkness. And the commandment again today is separate the light from the darkness. When Paul was writing to the Galatians that these are the deeds of the flesh, he was writing to Christians. He said, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And he says, anyone who participates in these things will not enter into the kingdom. What are we talking about here? The scriptures are straightforward on these matters. But when people want to indulge in the lust of the flesh, they start, you know, I've heard people twist scriptures. Sometimes I wonder that, God, you are very patient too. So this is the point I'm making. We must deliberately separate light from darkness. Let nobody lie to us that Christians, with them, you don't mention anything like sin. That is not true. What we are preaching, which is with my own message, is that we have dominion over it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What I'm trying to explain today is that, again, all right, we've done it many times, is that we have dominion over it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word of God is that sin shall not have dominion over every single one of God's children. And if you are one of them, sin will not have dominion over you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is not as if there is nothing like sin. It exists. It is there. It is true. It's in the scriptures. We've learned it from the Lord Jesus, learned from the disciples and the apostles. They wrote it for us. But what they just kept on emphasizing is that it will not have dominion over us. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now, so I'm trying to say something here. So why do we look at it? Why are we talking about it? It is simply because it's a poison of destiny. It is a poison of destiny. Many things, that's where I began it from. The word of God will have prospered in the lives of many of us, children of God, but because we refuse to separate light from our darkness, that's what the problem is. Light wants to produce something, but darkness is rising up again and again and is killing it. We see that principle in that book of Mark chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching us about the parable of the sower. He said, you find out that even though the word is there, able to prosper, even though that ground was good, in that the word could sink its root into it and could germinate and could grow. He said, but a time came when it was supposed to bear fruit. But other things, that's darkness now, that was inside there, they grew up and choked the word. Are you getting my point? The word was supposed to produce, but those things grew up and choked the word. That's another way of looking at it. So you find that when we don't deliberately separate light from darkness, when light will have produced for us, darkness will come out and choke. You get my point?
Yes, sir.
And that's why Paul warned. He said, make sure you deliberately separate your light from darkness. There is no relationship between light and darkness. He warned. Why did he say so? Let's open to it. Let's just look at it again. One of my most quoted scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 14. He said, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Are you seeing that now? That it is possible for you to have light and darkness intermingling, but to be wrong. That's what they were trying to say. So he said, make sure you don't let that happen. He said, what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Now, I know that he was speaking in the context of union and all of that, but he was using fundamental spiritual truths to explain what he was trying to say. He said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? That is, sometimes you find people bringing idols into the temple of God. He said, it is wrong. He said, for we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, now listen to this, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He now said in verse 17, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate. It's a deliberate thing, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. Let me just say it like this. I will be a father to you in reality. You will experience my fatherhood. Because for him to speak to them, they were his children. He just said, it was saying that you will experience the effect of my being your father. And you shall be in reality my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Paul now says something, which is why I said we should open to this. The very next verse, which is in chapter 7. Therefore, he said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What does that tell you? Except a man, except a woman, perfect holiness, except these people, these children of God, cleanse themselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, they will not experience these promises. That's what he was trying to say. He said, we have a hope, these promises. We have a hope of experiencing the reality of the fatherhood of God. We have that hope. He said, for that reason, what do we do? We remove every hindrance. What are the things that cause hindrances? What are the hindrances to the flow of the fatherhood of God? He said, it's defilement. He said, it's defilement of flesh. It is defilement of spirit. It is defilement in every form. That's the reason why the destiny of a believer will not be manifested. Are you getting my point? This is the reality about life. This is why people's destinies don't manifest. This is a poison we are dealing with here. What we are just doing, that we are teaching the antidote that God said we have a way to cure it. Listen to me. Let nobody lie to you that sin does not affect Christians. It does. It prevents them from discerning the mind of God. They are blind. Their ears are deadened. Are you getting my point? To what God wants them to do. They will not be able to make right decisions if they don't remove idols from their hearts. If they don't remove the iniquity from before their faces. They want to go to the right place. They will go to the wrong one. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will try to communicate with them, but they will hear wrongly. The signals will jam. I hope you are getting my point. God will be shouting, but their ears will be deadened. They will not be able to experience what God wants them to hear. God wants to lead them, but they will take the wrong decisions. Listen, the ability to hear right counsel is a spiritual trait you must have. Because you see, when God was going to destroy Rehoboam, what did he do to him? You must understand something. Even though God wants to do something, what I mean is that God wants to destroy Rehoboam, all right, and split Israel into two. If Rehoboam had listened to the counsel of the elders, that judgment would have been on suspension. That's just the way life is. That judgment would have been on suspension. So what did God do? God simply said, don't worry, he won't listen. And that's what sin does to people. They will not be able to listen to sound counsel. They will not be able to make right decisions. They will not be able to choose what is right. They will try, but they will not succeed. That's the point I'm making here. They will think I'm going for that which is good, but they will deliberately reach for that which is bad. Why? Because of sin. I wrote in that book, Beyond Gifts and Talents, I described the story of Samson. What was Samson's problem? You know, because for a long time as a young boy, you know, do you watch movies? Oh, if you ever watch, you know, some people watch movies and they are inside the movie, like my wife. My wife's watching a movie. You know, when we first married that time, now I'm gisting now. I used to wonder, what's wrong with this girl now? It's a film. He said, what's wrong with him? Why is he following her? Can't you see? And I told him, I said, baby girl, the director said follow her. You know, I used to wonder. No, those days, at the point now, I used to get angry. Because she would beat me like, oh, what's wrong with this man? Why is he shooting? Very wicked man. He's shooting that man. What did the man do? And I would look at her like, okay, this script says shoot. Let's just enjoy this movie and stop asking me these questions. But now, after many years, I don't do that anymore. When she says, ah, why is he shooting her? I say, oh, he's a wicked man. Say, do you think he's going to die? Yes, I think so. It won't be nice if he died, though. It would be very terrible. That is, you know, there's no, you know, sometimes, you know, everything you argue over. She said that's how she enjoys watching movies. So I don't enjoy it till now, but at least. I just try. Now, what am I saying this now? Sometimes you're watching, you're in the story of Samson and Delilah. And you're like, why are you telling her? Why are you telling her? Why are you telling her? Don't tell now. Don't tell. She's going to tell the Philistines. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't tell. You know the truth? He couldn't help but tell. That's what I found out. The man has to tell. Why will he tell? The strength not to tell. I was lost. And Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot. And he went to this other place, and he saw a woman there. As the man was seeing a woman here, seeing a harlot there, going into her here, what he didn't know was that his life was being donated here and there. It's a spiritual substance, he was wasting it. People think that iniquity is whether they see me or they don't see me. No, it is the thing that prevents your head from working. You will see Delilah like this, and she'll show you ID card. Delilah, commission to destroy your life. You will tell her everything. Why? Your head won't work again. Why? The ability, the spiritual strength was lost. When you went to the house of in Gaza, that harlot's wife, you left a big portion there. Look, and when the Bible says this man went here, did this, just know that that's how he was doing everywhere. That was his destiny. He was throwing away bit by bit, leaving it everywhere. The day he needed the strength to succeed, he didn't have it again. Sin poisons people. It's spiritual poison. You want a man to die, you inject him with a bit of toxin of sin. His destiny will just be wasted on the streets. No wonder Solomon now warned. He said, should your springs be scattered abroad? He understood. It's a wasting of spiritual substance. That is why we fight iniquity. I'm just reading because I think I'm going to finish the message today. That is why we fight it. No matter how many principles of success you learn, one principle of sin will kill it. That is the truth. That is why we have to separate our light from our darkness. Light must be separated. What is darkness? It is sin. But our emphasis has been on, let me not forget to lay the emphasis. We are overcomers. Somebody say amen. In Christ Jesus, sin shall not have dominion over us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is no addiction, no power of lust we don't have power over. There is none. There is none. There is none. None. Zero. Unless you are not a true believer. I've explained, and I'll explain it, just review it again. The major problem is that people start late. They plant the seed. They water it, they nurture it, They enjoy the process. When it is now time to eat the fruit, they say, no, I don't want to eat. Who will now eat it? You've been planting and watering and nurturing. Who will now eat it? You've been flirting around the scene. Who will now eat it? You have been cutting it. Who will now eat it? Now say, nah, I'm going to resist. You can't resist. It's too late. When they served you food, you chopped. They say, bow to idols. Say, I will not bow. You will bow. Today, you must bow. When you were eating all the food offered to idols, what did you think it was? It was incitement to bow. Eating the food sacrificed to idol was easy to resist. The king was not watching you, was just a servant. It was a servant that said, please eat. He said, sir, no, we are good Jews. We don't eat such things. It was easy. You were not afraid of the man. It was a man you could talk to. That is the time you win. But many people want to eat all kinds of things, hang around the wrong places, then finally say, in fact, I was listening to a message. I was telling my wife, you know, yesterday night. There's this set of messages I have from Rima Bible School, all right, one of their minister sessions. Different people were teaching. You know, because sometimes you are so addicted to the main man, you don't listen to the other men, which is not good. It's very bad. So anyway, this one, because I had the messages in my car, I was not listening to the message. And the man was saying something very interesting. He was talking about sexual integrity in pastors, morality and all of that. And he was telling the pastor that, listen, that the very act of adultery is not where it started. Are you getting my point? That was his emphasis. That's not where it began. That people tend to focus on that. He said, but actually, that's not where it started. So he was taking pastors through the things that produce it, these different stages, and showing how to be careful, how to draw what he called boundaries of physical space, boundaries of touch, boundaries of words. We're talking about those boundaries. Telling pastors, listen, you want to see a woman for counseling, make a law ahead of time. This is where I see everybody. I know of one pastor that I heard of. His counseling room is made of glass. You are alone, but everybody can see you. He will close the door so that nobody can hear. But everybody passing, the whole thing was made of glass. That was his law of location. That's what that man called it. All right? Now, why I'm talking about that is because the man explained that, listen, it is not the act that's the problem. That's not where it starts. Let me use my own words. That is when it has borne fruit. All the while, people have been planting the right seeds. And I want to emphasize to believers again, if you are struggling with anything, go and check the kind of seeds you are always planting. Because many people, they enjoy the seeds. Because somebody lied to them. That's why Jesus had to come and say, the Pharisees, yes, except they catch you, there's no problem. But let me now tell you, I am the Lord that hears the thoughts of your heart. Therefore, I say to you, if you as much as desire it in your heart, it is sin. If you sit down and brood on the thought, even if you don't carry it out, you have already done it. For example, about murder, he said, if you sit down and nurture hatred, as far as I am concerned, you know I can read your heart. Your brethren can't read your heart. The Pharisees cannot read your heart. They don't know what's on your mind. I know. And you have already sinned against me. Why? Because that's when you plant the seeds. The outward things are the fruits. So when you find out the Bible said that we have authority, we have power, we can overcome. Yes, indeed we can. It is just that we often start late. I heard one story. In fact, let me tell this story. It's very interesting. It really happened. One of my friends, a pastor, he said one day a young woman called him and said, pastor, help me. This torture is too much. That she has this funny spiritual experience. Now, listen to this. Very interesting. She will try to sleep. Then she would either dream or really feel as if a man will enter into her room, all right, physically subdue her, all right, and rape her. Doesn't see anybody, but she gets that experience all the time. It was torturing her soul, was going to destroy her. So she called my friend, the pastor, and said, please help me. And that one said, all right, you're on the phone. Said, I will pray for you. He said, he was telling me later that he prayed for her. And then she just heard a voice, two people talking, and said, she has our money. Are you getting my point? You are praying. You hear people say, she has our money. And she sent two voices. And something told her that one of the voices spoke from Ogun State, another one spoke from maybe, let's just say, Canada State. You know, there's a way spiritual discernment is, all right? If you know, you just know something, you don't know how you know it, all right? He said, just need that one of them spoke from Ogun State, the other one said, just take another state, spoke from, let's say, Edo State, I don't know for sure, all right? Now, he's in the east here, all right? And he just felt that that's where they spoke from. So he called the lady back and said, well, what happened between you and the man from Edo State and between you and the man from Ogun State? And the girl was surprised. Like, how did you know? Then she confessed. The one from Ogun paid her way to do MSc. The one from Edo rented a flat and furnished it. And that's where she's living. My friend is a pastor, told me this just a few months ago. He said, we're just praying for the lady because she was desperate. What is going on? What is going on? What is going on? She thought she had sense. That I'm talking about sowing the seeds. One of the things I notice now, please, my wife thinks I'm a bit on the wicked side, but correct me if I'm wrong. I said, you know, sometimes a woman stands on the road and she's actually looking for lift. Lift. She doesn't want anything more than lift. But I asked myself, why do you think I will carry you? A lot of times, subconsciously, we use our sex appeal to stop the man. You know he will stop me. I'm a fine girl. He will stop. I don't want anything. No. I just want to live from here to there. But what is the reason why he will stop? He wants to carry the babe. Then, of course, me, I will, if you let him try anything, he will know who I am. You see, that's what I'm saying. You know, God is already against you. It's called fraud. You're defrauding the man. Yes. How? You deliberately are using his lust to get him to do something. If it crosses your mind, don't go anywhere. Go and pay your money for taxi. If it's literally, we are stranded, hey, let's look for help. And we, you know, because these are mind issues. Are you getting my point? Because you can't, that's why I said that my judgment may be wrong. That's why I find most time people are looking for lift. You don't find the guys. They've gone because nobody's going to give you a hard face. Come on, get away. You see, all the women will line up. The guys have gone to for bus station because nobody, in fact, they think you are carrying guns. So, the times are hard. I beg. Before somebody shoots me. But they take all the risk when it's a lady. Now, like I said, I'm not totally 100% right, but you get what I'm trying to explain. That's why some banks, those days, God said, I will judge you people. They want to go out for marketing, they send young ladies, teach them to dress seductively. They claim they don't expect the girls to do anything wrong, but they are just using the appeal. It is called sowing to the flesh. It's a seed. If you're MD of a bank, insist. Jesus used to send people out for marketing. How? Two by two. Jesus never... He did it. Look, and this was a man. Yeah, he said, please, I don't want stories that touch. You people are going two by two. If you're MD of a bank or a company, you want to send people like that out, who have to, you know, they have to meet, you understand, big men and all of that. It's simple. Send them out two by two. Just insist. Just part of personal moral principle. If you're a young lady, I'm sorry, you must go with a guy. If a man wouldn't give you money, then we don't want his money. If he won't patronize us, we don't want his patronage. We want to be patronized based on the integrity, the quality of our work. We don't want any woman to throw breasts around to bring money for us. It's called wages of harlotry. Don't bring to the temple. People, that's why people are always arguing, is this sin, is this not sin? Listen, me and you, we know what's going on inside our hearts. We know what is going on. This is how we sow seeds that are wrong. Then when it wants to germinate, we don't understand why we don't have the strength to resist anymore. We sow the seeds. And sometimes, listen, let me tell you something about seed, spiritual seed. You don't harvest it from where you sowed it to. Oh, spiritual things are like that. That's what Jesus said. When did I see you? When Jesus spoke, he said, they will say, when did we see you and help you? He said, you did it to the least of my brethren. The time they were doing, they didn't know they were doing anything. Your seeds spiritually are usually inconsequential. They don't look so big. They appear inconsequential when you are sowing them. That's why I keep on saying, I always like to drop this one. When somebody say, put money here, God will bless you tomorrow, is a lie. The real one that God will use to bless you, don't know when you dropped it. You will have forgotten. It works by the good way, it works the bad way. Many people get into trouble somewhere. They sow the seeds of iniquity elsewhere. But it's a spiritual principle. It's germinating. It's germinating. That's how I'm explaining the principle. Be careful. When anything you are doing in life is a seed. Be careful that always you are sowing your seeds to the spirit, not to the flesh. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Be careful that always your seeds are being sown to the spirit, not to the flesh. And it is the reason why you are doing what you do that counts in the realm of the spirit. Again, I like to drop it so people understand money. Because this give offering thing. If you give money because you want to get, you did not sow into the realm of the spirit, you sow to the flesh. Because you are doing something for your own personal gain. You are not walking in love. If you are doing something to help somebody else, that's when you are walking in love. That's when your offerings, your seeds of money, really, really produces fruit. When you hear that, oh, this person is in need, oh, let's solve his problem. Let's solve her problem. This gospel is being preached. Oh, let's participate. We need to preach the gospel. Then you have a reward. When somebody says, just give $1,000 today, oh, the last time I gave $1,000, my life has not been the same again. So that your life will not be the same again, you drop $1,000, your life will not be the same. You know why? You've lost $1,000. It can't be the same. You've lost $1,000. You have lost $1,000. But if you have given that same money out of true, genuine love for God, they told that, look, we need this money to preach the gospel in this place. They say, yes, the gospel must advance. You drop the money. Then God will give you a reward abundantly. It's called sowing to the spirit. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. What's my teaching this afternoon? To explain to us that, listen, again, just to emphasize what we've said before, we can resist this sin. It's just at which point we begin, that's the problem. As I told the story of that young woman that my friend was counseling with on the phone. And he said to her simply, what are these voices I'm hearing? One from here, one from there. And she confessed. Essentially, I told this man I am going to marry him so he could pay my way to go and do my master's in an expensive place. And he did. He has the money. Then at the end of the day, I said, I'm not going to do it again. I'm sorry I've lost interest. It was something in my mind. Now, the other man also, I needed money to settle down. And I know these men will all fight. So I took from them. And then now, how it worked, I told you know how Satan works? He's an accuser. He's an accuser. He takes those things before the judgment throne of God and presents accusation against people. And I said, if people repent, I want to say real repent, not repent and stay in the house, pack out of that house. Say, you must bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The one I paid for you to go to master's, you cannot return the certificate. Have a deal with him. I will refund your money. I will start working. You'll be priority. I'll pay you back. Yes. It's called bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Not to say, don't worry, when we finish, we'll apologize to God. God does not take apology. He takes repentance. There's a world of difference between apology and repentance. Why did I tell that story? To let us know that people sow seeds makes resisting the devil difficult when they start harvesting. Again, these are all reviews because I'm hoping to end this series today. The main thing I want to explain and emphasize on today, okay? Again, can be drawn from all of this before we begin to take our declarations, is that one we read from that Psalm 45. We read it last time also. He said, because you have loved righteousness and you hated iniquity or hated wickedness. My emphasis today is that before a Christian can walk above sin, he must hate iniquity. I hope you're getting my point. It must be what? Hatred. 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 Many people don't hate sin. In fact, they make excuses for it. They make excuses for it. There are two forms of excuses. One of them is, well, let me not count. I'll just mention forms of excuses that people make. One is that people say, it doesn't matter. God is not checking. All right, that is one. Another is that people say that I am not, how do I say it now? I am not able, are you getting my point, to resist. And that's the one most people sit upon. You go to, you know, the world today, they are trying to advance the cause of sexual impurity, what the Bible calls impurity, which is what in modern day we call it homosexuality and all of that, all right? And the major thing they try to say to you is that I was born like this, which, of course, there is no medical evidence to that effect, all right? All the statistics are twisted to support that claim. It's not true. It's not fact. People just say what they want to say, and please be careful what you read in the media. I'm going somewhere. Many of the things they say in the media, they're not based on truth. Their journalists are like that. They are trained, like now, if they want government to reverse the fuel increase, all the editors can conspire. All the editorials will be against increase. They will allow those who want to speak against it, they'll give them space. And if you are going to say anything against it, against them, all right, they won't allow you. Now, the general public hears their own side of the story so much that after a while, they think it's true. In propaganda, it's like that. They just say something, no matter how stupid it is, say it long enough, people eventually start believing it. Why am I saying all of these things? That is what they did with impurity. All the things they say, they are not based on medical facts. The statistics are flawed. Yet they keep saying it. They keep saying it so as to raise a whole generation who is not angry at iniquity. And once you have people who are complacent towards iniquity, iniquity is established. They don't have to participate. They just accept it. They become complacent. It does not provoke anything in them. And you go and see it. When God was going to speak about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, he emphasized that his conscience was defiled every day. He emphasized that the man's heart was troubled because of the iniquity around every day. That was one of the things that qualified him for deliverance. Read your Bible well. He said this man's heart, it had to disturb him. If it did not disturb him, many people are not disturbed by iniquity. That's the problem. They make excuses. If I don't do this, how will my children go to school? Make excuse. And once you make excuse for something, the power of grace to overcome it is gone. My message today is you must hate iniquity. The other day, again, please pardon me, it's public news, so I will not, and I'm not saying anything evil about people. The other day when Pastor Chris Okotie, a few years ago, casually announced that he and his wife were separating, I was personally angry for one simple reason. Now, you know, they have a saying in most parts of Africa, anyway, at least Western Nigeria, there's a man wearing the shoe that knows where he's pinching him. And I understand. So I'm not really there to start judging that how can. I don't know whether the woman had pulled a gun, one day aimed at his head, and it was God walking through like he did in David that helped him dodge. I don't know. I don't know whether he was the one that pulled a dagger and aimed at the woman, and it was God like he delivered David. So, you know, you don't know what people are going through. So I'm not here judging that, how cool. What I disagreed with, and I still disagree with till today, is the casualness with which it was announced. What I disagree with, even Lake Elder, I read some of his comments. And he was a member of the church. Yes, no, see, sorry, this is not, it's common G, so it's not, I'm not gossiping. It's everywhere, it's not, you hear him talk, all right? Now, what I disagree with all of them is not because you do know what people are going through. That's not my issue. Please, get my point. My displeasure is the casualness we talk about divorce and we make excuses for it. We should talk about it as a tragedy. I expect when it happens, the whole church will mourn. We will visit the man and say, we are so sorry. Why did he not tell us all this? Why so we could pray with you? I expect to meet him crying. Not to stand up there and casually talk. If your son died, is that how you will announce it? I just want you to know that my first son died last week. He was knocked down by a car. Romans chapter 5. You are not going to do that. You are not going to do that. And why I speak like this, even though some may be offended that why are you talking about this, is because, listen, I also have a voice now in the body of Christ. And I want people to know that we will not tow that American path. That's what I'm preaching. Is it possible that it will happen once in a while? Yes. Things like that will continue to happen. But we will never accept that it's normal. We will never accept that once we have excuses, we should be comfortable with it. Because God said, I, the Lord, I hate divorce. He knows it will happen. But he said, guys, let me give you my opinion about it. It's horrible in my sight. And I'm saying, people of God, you must have that same mind towards things like that. When it comes to sin, that's what I'm talking about. Except we hate it. People talk in Nigeria, Nigeria, if you don't take bribe and all of that, how will you survive? And we make excuses. We don't have hatred. Listen, if you really hate something, it will leave you after a while. If you hate your wife, she will go. If you just want to divorce your wife, just start showing that you hate. No matter how much she loves you. Even a dog, say after a while, the dog, he won't go away, just that he'll find another more comfortable place to stay. People say that dogs stick with you forever. Kick your dog every time you come, whether you come and greet you tomorrow. The dog is not going to come and greet you tomorrow. If you hate the devil, you know what I mean by hate? I don't mean this Pentecostal hatred, though. It's actually love. If your key does not open, say, the devil said my door will not open. That's love. I tried to start my car this morning. The devil sat inside the engine. As I was going, the devil was waiting on the road. Anybody accompany you like that must love you. One day I saw one woman preaching on television. I didn't catch the initial part of it, too. He said, I realize anytime I want to share the revelation, the devil always gets scared. The devil scatters the station. Okay. When I heard the revelation, I said, it's not the devil. It's the angel of God trying to spare you from lying to the whole world. $77 for perfected blessing. Now says the devil that scattered the station. You should have known who scattered it. It's God in heaven. Says it's such a powerful revelation. Anytime I want to share the devil, I say, oh, madam, I better go. It's not the devil. It's not the devil anything. I can't be lying against God and the devil will be supporting it. That is what I mean. Like, the devil will now be hindering the lie. The devil will support the lie. He will bring more lights, more cameras. Say it. Confuse the children of God worldwide. When you want to preach wrong doctrine, if things spoil, it is not the devil. It is God. And if your equipment is always spoiling, it's not the devil. Maybe you refuse to buy new ones. It's lack of faith. If you have faith for better things, like our generator spoiled the other day, I had to gear up my faith. And they told me the price of the type of diesel I wanted, brand new. I said, in the name of Jesus, we can. If generator keeps going off every day, and I say, brother, let us pray. The devil doesn't want us to preach. So let's point our generator. Just say, pastor, this prayer is not necessary. Here is a check. Go to Meccano. They will give you a new one. The devil won't come back here again. The Lord is good. My message, please, is... So I'm not talking about Pentecostal hatred. I mean real hatred. If we hate his works, if we hate his suggestions, because that's the main interaction he tries to give to us. Tells you, look, do it like this. I told him, brother looked at me once, I said, Kai, look at the traffic on this website, sir. We can make money from this traffic. I said, get behind me, Satan. That's what I mean by hatred. It's not as if devil, if you come here, I'll box you. The suggestion is ungodly. There are suggestions. I've seen pastors who, what they now sell is forever living product from pulpit. One of my colleagues is a very, very interesting human being. He's a Catholic. So one day he was in church. The Reverend Father brought his friend. And that one started introducing one of these things that they are selling. Is this Tianxi, whatever. One of those teas, yeah. I told how it cures fibroids, diabetes, chronic headache, waist pain, back pain, nose ache, everything. My friend, very interesting creature. He put up his hand. They allowed him to the front. He collected the microphone from the Reverend Father and said, "You are a dangerous man." He said, you are a very dangerous person. Gave the man the mic back and went to his seat. All devout Catholics gave him space. Any man who can get up in church during mass, look a Reverend Father in the face, is a left-handed person. Pointed his left hand at a man like this and told him he's dangerous. So when he got back to his seat, every man missed go back. When the devil comes to church, you give him space. That's how they treated him that day. What am I trying to say? Those are the temptations of the devil. Pastors sometimes do it. It's called turning your stones to bread. When you have the power, when you're on the pulpit, you have power. You must be careful to use only to lead people in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not for your pocket's sake. Are you getting my point? Very crucial. Only use that power. So when the devil says, "Listen, okay, market this thing for us from your pulpit, we'll give you a cut." Tell him, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what I mean by hatred. That's hatred. That's hatred. Listen to me. If we hate the work of iniquity, it will leave us alone. If we hate it, based on that hatred, we use. Remember, let me just summarize something again. I want us to close, you know, declare the word of God and close on time. Remember, I started this whole series by explaining a particular principle. Jesus was a human being like you and me. True of us? True of us?
True.
Say like you believe it, Joe.
True.
It's not blasphemy. The Bible says he partook in flesh and blood like us. And he was tempted in every way. As you and me have been tempted and are being tempted. He said, however, he was without sin. And he told us how he did it so that he was without sin. And we said, these are the things. One, he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. This was a prophetic psalm. A messianic psalm, like they call them. Then also, he knew how to pray. The major, I said at the beginning, the most important sin is not this lie, all right? Fornication, stealing. Those are products of the real sin. The real sin was that a man would separate himself from the center of God's will for his life. And when it came to that point, and the pressure was much, and I said, don't make excuses. The excuse was that the pressure is much. The cross is difficult. How can a man do it and go through that amount of pain? God will understand if we don't go to Nineveh and we head for Tarshish. God should understand. That's our reason. I've combined two stories there. But Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? He prayed with loud cries to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. And we see him praying in the garden. That was the most difficult temptation. That was the most intensive prayer he prayed. That was how he overcame. He overcame, one, he hated iniquity. Two, he cried to God who could supply grace to walk above sin. And what did he do for us? He now released his promises. He said, with these magnificent promises, you also will perfect the expression of divine nature. And that's what we did last time. We take the word of God. I said last time, we are not commenting on our lives, our experiences. We are not commenting on our background. We are not commenting on how things have been with us. When we declare God's word, we are setting a direction for our life from today. If I say sin shall not have dominion over me, I am not talking about whether I had dominion over me yesterday or not. I'm saying from now. And last time I preached about what? Diligent application. Diligent application. If we apply the word of God diligently, it works all the time. The major problem is that we are not diligent in the application. If we apply that word diligently, it works all the time. What do we mean by diligence and patience? That is, once I start, I stick with it. I hold on to this word. I'm not trying to get something personally from it. I'm trying to just live a life that is pleasing to God. That's why we declared at the beginning, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work. That's our emphasis. If you hold God's word like that, so I wake up in the morning, I say to my body, listen, you are not yielded as an instrument of unrighteousness. Listen to me. The word still becomes flesh. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The word will still become flesh. If you wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror. Say, this body I'm seeing there, you are not yielded as an instrument of unrighteousness. The word will become flesh. If you declare to yourself, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. If you declare to yourself, my old man has died. My old man was buried with Christ. I rose up with Him in a new form of life. I'm living a life now that is energized by the faith of God. Not by my own strength, but by the grace of God. It's not about your determination. It's the word becoming flesh in your life. That's what we are preaching. That's what God expects. That's what's called grace. What is grace? It's when the word becomes flesh in your life. That's what grace is. It's not your determination. It's what? The word becoming flesh. Let's rise to our feet. I think I'm done. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Most importantly, for the power, for the grace, for the resurrection power that we have in Christ Jesus. Remember I said, we don't make excuses for sin. One of the excuses people make is as if, no, they say your flesh does not sin. And they say your spirit does not sin, so it doesn't count. Listen, the Bible talks about defilement of flesh and what? Spirit. If flesh defilement, it affects the believer. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks that we have been set free from bondage. Thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because from bondage, I have been delivered. From bondage to sin, I have been delivered. Say, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is working in me. He has set me free from the law of sin that produces death. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. In Christ Jesus, I have been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. Give Him thanks. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have been set free. Say, I was not born of the will of flesh. I was not born of the will of man. I was born of the will of God. You know what that means? Even though my father was an alcoholic, it will not hold in my life. It will not hold true in my life. Declare it. Everybody just say after me, say,
in the name of Jesus.
I was not born of the will of flesh.
I was not born of the will of man.
I was born by the will of God.
Therefore,
the sin,
the iniquity
of previous generations
will not have hold in my life.
Say, the blood of Jesus
cleanses me from all iniquity.
Say, the blood of Jesus
cleanses me from all iniquity.
You know, many years ago, I went for a wedding that was officiated by Pastor Chris Okoti. And he explained that word, iniquity. Very interesting. Never heard it like that. He gave an example. He said that everybody, every nation, every people, they have what I would call, you know, a natural tendency. In fact, I don't know whether this is good or bad, but he gave an example. He said the Jebu man is known to be very stingy. He said, so that was the example he gave that day. He said, so you can say the iniquity of the Jebu man is being stingy. You get my point. But that's a natural man. Somebody, that's a natural man. Can I digress? Can I digress? Can I digress? Very important. Don't be absent on Saturday. I'm going to continue teaching about faith. All right, how to get faith. One of the ways you get faith, recognize the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? Don't ever refer to a Christian. You know he's an Ijebu man. That's why he's stingy like that. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Don't define believers by the place they came from naturally. Don't. It's dangerous. You are wearing away your faith. That's why you won't marry a good wife. You won't marry a good husband. Because many people would not have married Jesus Christ if he was looking for a wife. Why? They'll say he's from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you getting my point? They had this idea that nothing good can come from there. So if Jesus was a young man looking for a wife, he said, ah, Sister Angela, how far? This is my Angela one day. When she finds me. I just look for a name so that I'm not talking about anybody. He said, Sister Angela, how far? I was thinking and I began to pray my spirit. He said, where are you from? So from Nazareth. Ah. She now go home and say, tell her friends or her parents. Brother Joshua wants to, he said, wants to marry me. He said, where is he from? Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, please, oh, nothing good can come out from there. Many of us are like that till now. Once you want to marry, once you hear where the man is from, where the woman is from, you say to yourself, can anything good come out of there? Tell your neighbor, ungodly.
Ungodly.
Tell the person,
ungodly talk.
Say, stop that nonsense.
Stop that nonsense.
If the person is not talking, he's guilty. If anybody besides is afraid to talk, he's afraid that is guilt. Now guilt they pursue him. He said, do not give offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. Are you getting my point? We are all one body in Christ. Please, can you do me a favor? Hold somebody on your left and your right. Just for a few seconds. Say, we are all one body in Christ.
We are all one body in Christ.
Say it again. We are all one body in Christ.
We are all one body in Christ.
We are children of the same Father.
We are children of the same Father.
We are born of the same Spirit.
We are born of the same Spirit.
We are baptized into the same body.
We are baptized into the same body.
Say, we are all one body in Christ.
We are all one body in Christ.
I can lift the hand. It's very important. All right? So, you know, I just digress into that to just emphasize a few points to people again. All right? Now, so that day he explained that the natural man, that's what he was talking about, that this is his iniquity. Okay, that was the example he gave. He now said, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. Are you getting my point? Look, that's the word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What does that mean? You know, some people say, you know, actually something wrong in families. See, a man, he drank heavily. His son hated the idea that father used to drink, daddy used to drink a lot. But by the time he's 18, he's already drinking. And there's a compulsion that's pushing him to drink. He doesn't realize it. By the time he's 30, he's just exactly like his father. I've seen it again and again. People hate what their father was, and then they become an exact replica of him. Listen to me. This is the word of God now. You will say amen to that. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all iniquity.
Amen.
You are delivered from the iniquity of the fathers.
Amen.
Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Declare, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I was born of the will of God.
I was born of the will of God.
The seed of God is inside me.
The seed of God is inside
me. Incorruptible seed of God.
The incorruptible seed of God.
I was born of that spirit.
I was born of that spirit.
Therefore, the natural spirit.
Therefore, the natural spirit.
The natural flesh.
The natural flesh.
The natural order.
The natural order.
Doesn't have any dominion over me. I have been set free.
I have been set free.
The sin of my father,
the sin of my father,
the sin of my mother,
the sin of my mother,
do not have effect in my life.
Do not have effect in my life.
I have been set free
by the blood of Jesus.
Let me say this unto you. In the same manner, the diabetes of your father and the hypertension of your mother, the cancer of your grandfather and the breast cancer of your auntie will not have any effect on you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, able to save to the uttermost. Yes. People think God only cures spiritual problems. It's not true. It can, in fact, it is easier to, all of them, they are easy. It's easier to cure the physical ones. People think God only cures spiritual, it doesn't only cure spiritual problems. Don't, you know, I told you, faith is built by what you hear. Every day, they build unbelief in our hearts by emphasizing genes. One day, a girl that doesn't go to church, who doesn't know God, went to the doctor and said, remove both of my breasts. Angelina Jolie Pitt. And they put her up there as a poster child for prevention of breast cancer. Let me tell you, there are scores of parts of your body that can get cancer. Remove the breast. She has not removed the ovaries also. Yeah, she had. Because in fact, when she removed the breast, I said, this guy, I hope you remember that the main problem is not with the breast, it's with the ovaries. Later I heard about a year later, she removed both ovaries. I said, it's not her fault. She doesn't go to church. She doesn't go to church. She has applied all diligence to remove both breasts and both ovaries. You, sir, you will apply all diligence to take the word of God. Yes, are you getting my point? And sustain every part of your body. Amen. God does not only cure spiritual problems, he cures physical ones. They put her out there, like, why? Because breast cancer, it runs in families, it's called BRCA, you know, BRCA1 gene. If you blah, 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 lie of the devil. You have been delivered.
Amen.
I don't care whether your grandfather died of cancer, your mother joined, your father joined, your aunties joined, your uncle joined, you're the only one in the family remaining. You will not die of it.
Amen.
Because he's able to save to the uttermost. Everyone that draws near to God by him. Listen, I know all of these things. Even now, they've been reading the genes again. People are getting confused. They now began to learn epigenetics. How certain things modify the expression of genes that are there is confusion. But the word of God abides forever. I hope you get my point. Listen to me. What kill your father will not kill you.
Amen.
Okay, let me tell you how you are going to die. You will be old and will have satisfied the will of God in your generation.
Amen.
I prayed one prayer to God some time ago. Okay, now I'm beginning to say it. Now I don't know. I should not have said it, but I'll start it, so I'll finish it. I said, God, before I die, you do me a favor. I don't like surprises. So let me take a tour of heaven first. Let me see the angels that are coming to escort me. Are you getting my point? No, so just drive, just wake up, finish preaching, just die like that. And you did not know you were going to die. What kind of rubbish death is that one? I don't like that at all. I like Paul's zone. He discussed it for some time. I'm in a straight between two. Whether to depart now and be with Christ or to stay behind, which is fruitful labor for your faith's sake. All right, you know what I thought about it? Okay, I have some messages to preach. Let me preach to you guys before I go. Then before he left, he wrote to Timothy. He said, I think there's nothing else to say. This is my last letter. I write this one to you. I'm now ready to be able to, talk. And that was it. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Death will not take you by surprise.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will not take you by surprise.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will not take you by surprise.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. You will have to consent before you depart from this earth.
Amen.
The Lord will discuss with you. I like the way he did with Moses. Even though Moses didn't want to go initially, but they had to agree. He told Moses, lie down here. Now, die. And that was it. Phew. Moses came out of the body. He said, stand here. Let me bury this body you used for the last 120 years. They now dug the place. They covered it. Turned the place back to natural. The Israelites never found it. God buried him well. And I said, Moses, come. Your time over there is over. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Death will not take you by surprise.
Amen.
The affliction that killed your father will not kill you.
Amen.
Why? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all iniquity.
Amen.
You have been cleansed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Declare it with me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The old man was subject to death.
My old man was subject to death
because of sin. But in Christ Jesus,
I am alive.
I'm alive to righteousness.
Therefore,
my spirit is alive
and is
giving life to my mortal body. Say that same spirit
that
raised Jesus from the dead is working in me.
Is
giving life to my mortal body. Say in me.
Life is walking.
In me,
life is walking.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
Is reversing every genetic damage.
Is
canceling every mutation.
Say,
is canceling every mutation.
Life is walking.
Life is busy.
Life is walking.
Life is active. The life of Christ.
Is
busy,
is
active,
and
is working
in me.
Listen to me. Every sickness, die in Jesus' name.
Amen.
every affliction be gone in the name of Jesus. Because the resurrection power of Christ is working in these people of God. The resurrection power of Christ is working in every believer here. Therefore, I speak to affliction. Die in the name of Jesus. Every pain be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare it again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have been delivered.
I have been delivered.
I walk above sin.
I walk above sin.
I walk above the devil.
I walk above the devil.
I resist the
devil.
I resist Satan.
I resist Satan.
I renounce him entirely.
I renounce him entirely.
I hold on to the word of God.
I hold on to the word of God.
By which I was saved.
By which I was saved.
I hold on to the word of God.
I hold on to the word of God.
By which I am being sanctified.
By which I am being sanctified.
By which I am being sanctified.
By which
I hold on to that word,
and I declare,
holiness is my portion,
righteousness is my portion,
holiness is my portion,
righteousness,
that's my portion, in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Just give God thanks in your own words. Thank him for everything. Thank him in your own words. Thank him in your own words. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You have been set free. From that addiction, you are set free. From that affliction, you are set free. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We give you praise. You have been set free from poverty. In the name of Jesus. Don't believe the lie of the devil. You have been set free. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Our Father, we thank you because you are good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So let's share the grace in fellowship. The cost of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time, please. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Please share with somebody on your left and on your right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Somebody else.
This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ.
Somebody behind you. Or in front of you. Just look for somebody. All right, cheer up, brethren.